Another thought to change. To change from thinking big to thinking small. It's so much of the Tao has in it statements that seem so paradoxical and so confusing to us. More is less. Less is more. Think small and get great things done. Accomplish great things. Listen to verse 64 of the Tao Te Ching. A tree that fills a man's embrace grows from a seedling. A tower 9 stories high starts with 1 brick. And here's the most famous line out of the Tao. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with what?
The first step.
One first step. Okay? So, today, I can stand up here on this stage in this beautiful sacred place, in this beautiful yin-yang symbol, on this incredibly beautiful set that feels so much like nature, and I can say to you that in a very short time, this year, I will have completed 20 years without taking a drink of alcohol. 20 years, okay? Thank you. Now that's big. That's big. Because I drank every day. Not to get drunk, but I drank every day. 2 or 3 beers every evening after running, and it was like, and I couldn't remember a day when I hadn't had, I thought back 10 years, 12, I couldn't think of a day, not one day in the previous decade or two that I had not had a beer or several beers. So that's big. And if I would have tried, if I'd have said to myself 20 years ago, Wayne, you're going to quit drinking for the next 20 years, I would have gone immediately and had a drink. Because it's just too big, isn't it? It's just too big. You don't do big things. You do small things and thus accomplish great things. It's a very important distinction to make. Whatever it is that you would like to create or contribute or become in your life, take one step. How did I let drinking go for 20 years? And I don't even know about tomorrow. I never think about tomorrow and whether I'm going to have a drink. All I know for sure is that this won't be the day. I do it one day at a time. That's how you overcome anything called an addiction in your life. You take it, you reconnect yourself to the source from which you came, which is a source of what? Well-being, isn't it? And you get back and return, get on the return trip and saying, I am connected to well-being. And I'll do this one day, 1 hour, 1 minute, 1 second, if I have to, at a time. And when you do it, I mean, it's behind in all of the programs for overcoming addictions, and all of the work of Bill W., all of the work of Alcoholics Anonymous, all of the work of any kind of addictions. It isn't just alcohol. It can be food. It can be addiction to your emails. It can be addiction to work. It can be addiction to so many things that so many people find that they can't get past. And to move themselves into a place where I think small. I ran 7 marathons in my running years. And about the 22nd or 23rd mile, you begin to ask yourself about your sanity. And what am I doing here? And my body is breaking down. But the way that you finish the marathon is not by saying, I'm going to run 26 miles. You don't do that, especially when you've still got 5 or 6 to go. You just say to yourself, can I put my foot in front of the next one? Can I take one step at a time? Can I do it one step at a time? And before you know it, you've accomplished great things. I watched my wife give birth to 4 children in right there in her in the delivery room with her. And she does not, you know, when you have a baby, it takes 9 months, doesn't it? You don't say to yourself, oh my God, I gotta have a baby, I gotta get pregnant, I gotta deliver it, I gotta go through labor, because that'll just drive it. And so, there are people who do that. And it's a torture for them. But I watched her do it one moment at a time in labor. Not what's going to happen an hour from now, what's going to happen this afternoon, am I going to have the... None of that. And she did it all naturally because it was all... And her mind was so strong as she was doing it that I couldn't even penetrate. I couldn't even communicate with her. She was so focused on just being here. She would say, these are not labor pains. These are just signals. Just signal. And I can take this signal. I can do this for 1 minute. I can do this. I can... It's the way everything gets done. I watch the great tennis players on the planet. Roger Federer, Pete Sampras, these people that are really masters at this game that I played for so many years, not even close to those kinds of levels. And they'll be in a tournament, they'll have a seeding, and they'll say, here's the first round, here's the second round, here's the third round. There's no such thing as playing the fourth round before you've played the first round. And then when you get to the first round, you don't go out there and say, well, I've got to beat this person in three sets. You say, I'm going to think one serve at a time. I'm going to think one point at a time. And every great athlete, I don't care who they are, they will always say, I can't think out there in big ways. I can only think small. Thinking small is what gets great things done. Verse 63. Achieve greatness in little things. Take on difficulties while they are still easy. Do great things while they are still small. The sage, one of my daughter's names, the sage, does not attempt anything very big and thus achieves greatness. Greatness comes from being in the moment, here, present, in the now. The sage confronts difficulties but never experiences them. This is the idea of thinking small. And finally, I'd like to see you change from this thought. Change from seeing yourself as separate to seeing yourself as connected to everyone and everything in the universe. Our ego tells us that we are separate, that who we are is this body that we have, and everybody out there is separate from me. Nothing has been more profound and more powerful and important for me than this verse of the Tao Te Ching. This idea that we are all one. That all of us emanated from the same source. And by doing so, by emanating from the same source, we need to see ourselves as connected to every single being, every single person, every single flower, every single tree, every single animal. If you can see yourself in everyone, we're all connected. It makes about as much sense to me to have a smoking section in a restaurant as it does to have a peeing section in a swimming pool, right? Oh, no, kids. No. Don't pee over here. We pee over here. Does that make any sense? The Native Americans, one of my favorite quotes, I've used it many, many times. The Native Americans would say, no tree has branches so foolish as to fight among themselves. No tree has branches so foolish as to fight among themselves. We are all branches on a tree called humanity. When you read the Tao, when you read this idea about changing these thoughts and changing your life, you're going to see endless verses that speak to the absurdity of the idea of you having an enemy. The idea that you and anyone else on this planet is an enemy. In the Tao it says, I and enemy cannot exist in the same sentence. And he said, even those who go to war, the ones who will triumph in war are those who go to war without an enemy. And they will treat every victory in war not as something to celebrate, but as a funeral, as an indication that we haven't reached the highest place within ourselves to see that even those people that we judge to be our enemy are really connected to us. And it says in the Tao that a bad man is a good man's job. And a good man is a bad man's teacher. A good man is a bad man's teacher. So finding that and seeing that, listen to verse 10. Carrying body and soul and embracing the one, can you avoid separation? One who heeds this power brings the Tao to this very earth. This is the primal virtue. This was so helpful to me as I thought about it. Remember, I spent 4.5 days on each one of these verses. And in each one of those 4.5 days, I wasn't writing. I wrote the last 4 or 5 hours of those 4.5 days. For 4.5 days, I took that verse and I went out into the world and I looked at everyone that I encountered, everyone that I saw, and I tried to see myself in them. The person that was, you know, dressed differently than I would dress, the person who was not as attractive, the person who was very old, the person who was very young, the person who used language particularly that was possibly offensive, when I would look out there and I would practice not judging. Because the only difference between a flower and a weed is a judgment, isn't it? It's just a judgment. It's just a judgment. And if we want to end violence in our lives and in our society, we have to learn to change our thoughts. Remember the dandelions when I was growing up out in Michigan? We had these dandelions. The dandelions would have, at a certain time of the year, they would get all these little fuzz balls at the top of them, the yellow little flower part. I always liked the dandelions. I thought they were really beautiful. They have these little fuzz balls. Now imagine if you want to end the problem of dandelions on your lawn, and you see them all out there with all their little fuzz balls. So you go out there, and you take a shovel, and you turn it upside down, and you start smacking all of the dandelions like this. And what do you do when you use violence to attempt to end the presence of these dandelions, which are problem for you on your lawn, is they all scatter, and then in the spring, guess what you got? More. You got more. You got new generations of dandelions. There's such a lesson in that, isn't there? There's a great lesson that when we use violence as a means to resolve our disputes, whether it's individually with each other, or whether it's in countries, or whether it's in communities, whenever it is that we resort to that kind of not seeing myself in others, and out of this kind of a consciousness will emerge those people who will ultimately begin to get this. Because if we don't really get it, civilization as we know it will not survive. It will not survive. We have to learn that the people that we call enemies, no matter how horrendous they may behave toward us, there is still something of us in all of them. And we can figure out a way. Yes, we, of course, have to defend ourselves. And yes, we don't allow people to push us, or all of those kinds of things. But at a deeper and a higher level, Lao Tzu was asking us to go within and find that place of peace. And try to reach out to that and help someone to make a U-turn. Those people can be reached because they have the anchor of the universe located within them. In verse 25 of the Tao, it says, "Thus to know humanity, understand earth. To know earth, understand heaven," which is where earth came from. "To know the way, understand the great within yourself." Within yourself. Look within and see it. Now, every single person watching this program will have conflicts with somebody in their life on a fairly regular basis, especially if you're in a marriage or in a partnership of some kind. Certainly if you have children, you're going to have conflicts. Now, think about what you do when you have a conflict and that conflict comes to an end. The conflict is over. You've expressed your opinion. You may have yelled at each other. You may have screamed at each other. You may not have understood each other. But it's over now. How do you end the conflict? Lao Tzu says, the person of Tao will eliminate all of the pain, all of the stress, all of the anger, all of the hatred, if they decide to end the conflict with love. Just be the one who ends the silence by saying, "We don't agree, but I love you." And it's all. You have moved a person from staying in the world of the 10,000 things into the world of God, into the world of Source, because the Source has no violence in it. It creates endless numbers of flowers and beings and creations without using any force at all. There's no force there. Here's one of my teachers who lived in Bombay, which is now Mumbai in India. His name was Nisargadatta Maharaj. He said, "Wisdom is knowing I am nothing. Love is knowing I am everything. And in between the two, my life moves." In between the two. The ability to take a conflict and to end it with love is one of the most powerful things that you can do. It has been a great lesson for me. When we have a conflict, what we do is I will be the person that will pick up that phone. You can be certain of it. I will end that conflict with love. And guess what that does to the conflict? It's over. You can't pick a fight with someone who just doesn't want to fight anymore, who just sends you love.